Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
I hope by the time I'm done with this morning that we will all be happy about the pruning process, because that's where we're going today. It's a good thing. We just heard Pastor Dave say that, you know, God always has our best interests. He's always doing something good for us, even though at times it may not look that way. But I want to give a little background how I got here this morning, because this message has been kind of wrecking me for weeks now. Back in April, I went out to start working on, now, mind you, I am really a city girl. I grew up in the suburbs. And I did have to mow the lawn. Being one of three daughters, we did everything. There wasn't like the boys did this, because there were no boys. And the girls had to help with the lawn and the yard work. But my father and my mother were not really gardeners, you know, so we didn't really ever have a flower bed or flowers growing. So I never really learned that. I can mow a mean lawn, although I haven't done it in how long we married? 37 years. But back then, I did it weekly, and so I was pretty good at that, the edging, the whole bit. But my grandmother, who lived next door, was an incredible gardener, and behind her garage, she had a farm, and she grew all the produce you could possibly imagine. But when I was about Micah's age, I went into the garden to help her and could not decipher the weeds from the plants. So I was never allowed back in the garden again. So, and as you get older, like in 10, 9, 10, 11, who wants to weed? And who wants to be in the garden? As a kid, we're excited about it. But when we get older, we're like, oh, that's hard work. It's hard work, tedious hard work. But she would produce vegetables that would take us all the way through the winter. She would can them, freeze them, like we lived on them. And it was incredible that she was able to do that, but I never got that green thumb. My aunt, when we were living, over 20 years ago, we were living in Karlstadt, and my aunt, who was a gardener also, she learned it from her mother, stayed at our house for a couple of weeks because house-sitting. She didn't have a place. She was in transition, and we were away, so she stayed at our home. And when we got back, my little impatience that I had planted in the front were huge. And my neighbors are going to me, what did you do? They are amazing. And I'm like, I guess it all has to do with knowing what to do. And she nurtured them, and she fed them, and she pruned them back, the dead stuff off of them. And when we got home, I was like, oh my gosh, is this our house? And my neighbors loved it all season, but it was just one season, because next year when I planted them, I didn't know what to do, as in the years prior. And it, you know, it was one great year of impatience. And maybe I was too impatient to learn. So that brings me to April, when I went outside to fix up the flower bed, you know, that we have along our driveway. And remembering that I failed to go out in the fall to cut back all the dead stuff off of my plants, because, you know, I'm a city girl. I don't think about it. And I didn't make the time. Honestly, I thought about it many times. I said, oh, I got to go out there and do that. Oh, I got to go out there too. And I didn't make the time. So I go out this year, and it's a complete mess. So now I'm cutting dead wood off my plants that I should have done in the fall, and now the plants are like what was a full big thing of lavender is now down to this. Because when you start pruning in the wrong season, you're killing the plants. And that's what I was doing. I was killing the plants. So I had spent a lot of money cleaning that up and starting over again. That's my story, starting over again in the garden all the time. It looks good now, but it took a lot of hard work, and I lost a lot of plants. We had to replant what we had already spent money planting, because I didn't take the time to do what I needed to do in the last season. That's a message right there. But that's not what I'm talking about this morning. So we're going to talk about pruning with a purpose, and I'm going to read through John 15. This is where it all started in the garden. The Lord started speaking to me about a rose bush I have that I planted when we first moved in. This rose bush on the side of the yard in the same flower bed I'm talking about. And if you look at it, you would say, oh my gosh, that is amazing, that rose bush. It's huge, and it's got all these red roses on it, and it looks so pretty. But if you get up close to that rose bush, you realize those roses are not healthy. They're falling apart, they don't stay long, they're very fragile, and they have all these little things on them. So, and God just started speaking to me about that rose bush, and he was saying to me that even when it looks good, it needs to be pruned. We have a tree in our yard that we planted and prayed over, like I did over that rose bush. I pray over everything I plant, by the way. I'm working on my resurrection life power because I don't have a green thumb. It's got to be Jesus. So we prayed over this tree. We planted, what, 3 years ago?
Six.
6 years ago. And it was a tiny little thing replacing a big tree that died. And, you know, we're like a shade tree, fast-growing shade tree. Ruth researched it, bought that tree. And now that tree is taking over our yard. Yeah. And why is that? Because we didn't know to plant, prune it. We're city people planting trees. We don't know. Same with the rose bush. I mean, I look at people's rose bush. They're so pretty. Mine is like all over. And the Lord's like, yes, because it's just growing wild. You're not pruning it back. So even though it looks good, it's not healthy. That's where we're going today. So let's start reading. I can't read. Okay. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Some interesting stuff. Now, I'm 57 years old, and I know in 56. How old am I? 56, I think. I don't know. But I know in all these years, I have heard what I'm about to speak. I must have. But when I started digging into this scripture, like God was showing me stuff I don't remember if I ever heard before, like it was brand new to me. So I'm going to speak that over you, that it would just ignite something new in you today, something you could take away and apply to your life that is going to transform things, and especially our mindset about pruning. When you say the word pruning, it's not a happy word, right? It's not a good thing. I think prunes, pruny face, pruny arms, pruny skin. I'm getting old, so I'm looking pruny. Being in the water too long, you pruny hands. That's what I think of. I don't even think about the fruit because I don't eat them. But that's what I think about when I hear pruning. I think of not negative things, but it's not a negative thing, as we'll learn today. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. For those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So pruning is going to bring joy, and we will get to that before the end of the morning. So this is, this. If you go into scripture, you will see that John records this as the last message that Jesus is giving to his disciples before he is arrested and later crucified. So it's a fairly significant message for the disciples. This is what he's leaving them with. He's leaving them with the fact that they need to produce fruit and abide in him. So we are going to talk about a couple of things. I'm going to focus, because when I started digging into this, my gosh, I could be here for a whole three-day conference teaching on the dirt and the trellis and all the things that the vineyard represents. But we're going to focus on the pruning, the fruit, and the abiding today. And it's going to be a pretty quick overview, unfortunately. I'm just asking the Lord to release what needs to go. So just as a background, vineyards are important to the Lord. He uses them throughout Scripture, from the beginning in Genesis all the way through to Revelation. He speaks of vineyards and grapes and vines. And he even references Israel multiple times as the vine which God has planted. So Israel's even portrayed as a vine. Just bear with me one second. Mouth is always dry when I'm talking. So if you research about vineyards and vines, you'll find out that when you plant a baby vine, a brand new vine, into the ground, it doesn't produce fruit for three full years. Not fruit that you can eat. It may get a little bit of fruit, but they don't keep that. They cut it back. And I'm just going to read something to you that in my research I came across, which I thought was a really good analogy. Any flower clusters that show during the first 2 years should be taken off with clippers or a thumbnail, prune back. These are the years when proper training is much more important than whatever small fruit yield the vine will bear. Since fruit yield and vegetative growth compete for the vine's resources, allowing fruit to develop will slow down the training or development, and you will get less fruit in the long run. Isn't that interesting? It takes 3 years. Jesus was speaking this to his disciples when? At the three-year mark. And if we look back through the life of Jesus with his disciples, we see he had to do a lot of pruning, right? He was cutting off some fruit. And, you know, as young Christians in the Lord, we think sometimes once we're saved, we know it all. But there is a long I'm still in that transformation process, right? We're all in that transformation process. But oftentimes what we think is we're bearing fruit that we should be excited about, the Lord just cuts it back. Especially in those early years, right? Because he's looking for the best fruit, not just fruit. I think that as we mature and the longer we spend connected, the greater time we spend connected into the vine, the pruning becomes a little less difficult. As a young Christian, it's devastating. Then as a mature Christian, it's like, okay, God's dealing with this, right? I'm not saying it's easy, but we're fully aware of what's happening because we have a history of what God has already done and what we've been through. So we could say, oh yeah, I recognize this pain. Because I don't think oftentimes, I know for myself, that pruning has not been easy. And I often wonder, does it hurt the tree, the plant? Do they feel the pain of pruning back? Because we feel the pain, right? Oftentimes. So the Lord just showed me how there's actually three separate groups of branches in this message. And we're going to start with the first one, because I always read this as, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. So what he's saying here is these branches are in the vine. They're not laid on the ground. They're in the vine. So what does that say of those branches that are not producing fruit? It says that they're believers. They're people who say, I believe in Jesus, but yet they're not producing fruit. And the scripture says he cuts off every branch. But in my research, I went back to the original and found out that that doesn't cuts off. The word they use for cuts off is not about snipping it off and pruning it back and throwing it in the trash. It actually says to raise or lift up. So when we're reading here that he cuts off every branch that's in the vine, he's actually saying, I'm lifting it up. And if you read about how they take care of vineyards when the branches are starting to get a little lost, but they're good branches that are still connected to the vine, right? They still have hope. So they lift them and tie them to the trellis so that they get more sun. So we're the branches here. You and I are the branches. Jesus is the vine. Our Father is the vine dresser, or the one who takes care of the vines. They still call them vine dressers to this day. So he's not actually cutting those branches off that aren't producing fruit. He's lifting them up. It reminds me of I didn't write down the scripture, but you'll know when I say it. I didn't write down the location. But how he chases the one. He pursues the one. He pursues that one branch. He may have hundreds of branches that are producing massive fruit, but he's pursuing that branch that's still connected, that's still saying, I'm a part of Christ, but not producing fruit. Our assignment as Christians, as believers, is to do what? Be fruitful. We've been talking about that. Be fruitful and multiply. Yes, with family, but yes, with our giftings and what the Lord has given us. We are to multiply it. So I thought that was pretty interesting because I always read it as he cuts them off and throws them away. Right? He doesn't. So he does all he can to help us be fruitful, and we need to respond. He sends people to meet with us. He gives us dreams. He sends conviction when we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. We always have a choice, don't we? We have a choice to be fruit bearers. It's not a given. The second branch he talks about is every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. So, for a long time, I felt like that pruning should just be about the things in my life that need to go. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that even where you're bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you back. Why? Well, if we look into back to the vineyard, which he is giving us that story, that parable about, you will find out that vines left unpruned, I'm way ahead of myself here, will look like this. Now they look like, wow, those are super healthy vines. We have a super healthy tree in the yard. It's huge. I have super healthy, well, appears to be a super healthy rose bush when you look at it. But because it hasn't been pruned, because these vines haven't been pruned, it cannot really produce much fruit because the sun can't get to the fruit. The sun, the Father, cannot get to us, to the branches, so that we could produce fruit, because we haven't been pruned back properly. Now, will it produce fruit? Yes, but it'll be small. It won't be tasty. You know how there are 10,000 variety of grapes. Did you know that? In multiple different colors. It's amazing. Not only that, grapes are the most profitable fruit in the world. Isn't that crazy? Like, they use the seeds for grapeseed oil. They use the leaves for grape leaves, right? We stuff them full of all these delicious things, and then we eat them that way. Then they have grapes. We just eat the grapes. That tastes amazing. Then we have the wine. We have vinegar. We have juice. It is the most profitable fruit in the world. God is definitely speaking to us through the vineyard. So this is what a vineyard looks like when it's pruned back. And it almost looks like it's dying, right? So the vine dresser's task, our Father, is to cultivate each branch so that it will bear as much fruit as possible. He's more than a farmer because he will have his vineyards, his vines, for decades. They live for decades. I was reading about a vine that is still alive in London from the 1700s and producing fruit. He gets to know them like a shepherd gets to know his sheep. He knows which vines are strong and more productive than others. He cares for each one, nurturing the vines, pruning them at the appropriate time, and taking measures to protect them. But as we read, the vine dresser only prunes the fruit-bearing vines. He doesn't prune the fruit-bearing branches. He doesn't prune the branches that aren't producing fruit. He lifts them up. There's one more branch that is mentioned in here. And it says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. These are the branches that are not connected to the vine. They're on the ground, they're dried out, they're withered, they're not connected to the vine. And that's a choice. Like, as a branch, we get to choose to be connected to the vine. We get to choose to be connected to Jesus. So there are three different branches here. There's the ones that he's lifting up that need to produce fruit. They call themselves, they say they're part of the vine, but they're not producing fruit. So he's making it easier by lifting them up for them to produce fruit. Then there are those vines that are branches that are producing fruit, and maybe it's amazing fruit. You know, I think about times when the Lord has worked in my life, and I thought for sure I wasn't going to make it through. But it always comes at a time when we think things are going great. This is going fantastic. I am so excited about what's happening in my life. And then the phone call comes, or the announcement at work, or something drastic. It's always like this, right? And we go from living in the fruit, like I'm bearing this amazing fruit. This fruit is amazing. Life is good. And then it's bam, things change, right? And he starts cutting back that good fruit. And we're back and we feel like we're shrinking. We feel like things are dying. I read this quote. It says, growing can look a lot like shrinking. So when you're cutting back and you're leaving that, it looks like they're not going to make it. They've shrunk back. They don't even look like they could bear fruit to me. But this is the process that they have to go through in order to bear good fruit. Great fruit. Massive amounts of fruit. You know, when God starts pruning us, it can look like relationship breakdowns, right? So I know in my life, especially early on, when I, after I got through my crazy teen years and I really dedicated myself back to the Lord, raised in the church, and the pruning was difficult. And I was young, like I was a young 18, 19-year-old, and I was thinking, is this the right thing to do? Because the first thing that goes are all your friends, right? All those relationships are like, sorry, cutting this off, cutting that off, you know? And they were good relationships, but not the kind of relationships that the Lord would have me have in that season, because it wasn't producing any good fruit in me, right? So there are times, I'm sure if you look back, you would say, at the time I thought for sure this was the biggest mistake of my life, but now I look back and say, God did incredible things with relationships I never could have even imagined, right? With people I didn't even really feel that connected with at the time because I was so off in a wrong direction. So we have to trust the Lord, like we heard this morning, that he knows best for us. And when we're in that pruning, that season of pruning, which, let me say something, pruning happens yearly for the vineyard. It never ends. If you are producing fruit, you will be pruned. Think about that one. It never ends. So we have to like it. But we read that it brings joy in the end, right? So let's be joyful because that pruning is a good thing. So as believers, if we are not connected to the vine, bearing fruit as we should, if we are connected to the vine and bearing fruit, we will be in a continuous process of pruning. You know, the world would say, or our humanly mindset would say, hey, I'm producing fruit, and this fruit is good. So You know, why would you have to cut that back? That would be our thinking. But we always know with God, it's an upside down kingdom, right? So he says, nope, it could be better. It could be a better quality. You know, living in the world we live now, the fruit we produce is, it's the key. It's the key to transformation. It's the key to revival, our fruit. You know, I would be the one to say, you know, like Peter, cut his ear off when the enemy comes. Let's just take care of the enemy. But God's saying, no, let me cut that back. It may look good, killing the enemy, but that's not where I have you right now. And I'll say to you, God doesn't prune us all in the same way. But every single branch, without any exception, that produces fruit will be pruned. That's what John 15 tells us. There's no getting around it. You're kidding me. Wow. Time flies. All right. Too many stories. I'm going to move a little quicker. In the midst of pruning, we may be annoyed with God. You brought me here, then you left me. It feels like that. Like things are going great, and then all of a sudden it stops. And it looks like what he's called you to is dying. It's withering. But it's not. If we could just hang in with the Lord and press in, we'll find out that that's part of the growth process. We're not being abandoned. He's working even when we don't see it. Self-doubt's the next step. Did I miss him? Did I make all this up? Was I dreaming it? Was God ever in it? You know. Difficulty, the struggle, is part of producing mature and bearing quality fruit. The valley of decision, this is where we get to decide. We go through these stages. We get to decide, am I going to press through to see this through with the Lord, or am I going to withdraw to an easier place where things are easier? God never promised us easy, but he always said he'd never leave us or forsake us. We always have a choice with God. We can choose to submit to the pruning, or we could choose to retreat from the pruning and stay where we are or regress. Our fruit will regress. Will we hang around? Will we submit to the process? Sometimes when God's pruning us, we can easily see the result of the pruning. But sometimes it feels like we're in that process for a really long time and we don't see the results for years to come. We have to always remember we're not just living for the present. We're living for the future. We may not see all the fruit that we produce in this lifetime, but someday God will reveal it to us. And I just want to, I wanted to share this that I read because I thought, wow, this is so cool. So good vine dressers, or those that manage vineyards to produce good grapes for wine, know that the best thing they can do for the vine is to make it struggle a bit. Let me just read this first, because this is where we should start. So I read this quote, and I'm going to share it with you. Have you ever wondered why God goes to the trouble of sanctifying us? He could instantly zap us into his image the moment we decide to follow him, or he could transport us into heaven the moment of our conversion. Wouldn't that be great? Living in streets of gold. Why would he opt for taking us through the long, drawn-out process of planting, watering, pruning, and harvesting? But sure enough, he rolls up his sleeves, puts palms in the dirt, and begins putting the pieces of our lives together in a way that matters. I think it's because he's not looking for a store-bought tomato. He wants the real thing, raised by his own hands, hard-won as it is. To a gardener, grown is overrated, going to the store and purchasing. It's growing that makes the fruit sweet. I mean, what's better than a tomato that someone raised in their yard? It's the best thing, right? We lived for my grandmother's tomatoes. I would eat them on bread with mayonnaise. That's it. Delicious. The best thing on earth. Unfortunately, it was white Wonder Bread, but. So now I'm going to read this about from a vine of you know, a vin, vin, vitic, viticulture, that's what they call them, a viticulturist, and talking about the struggling vines produce better wines. More modern methods of growing grapes in close-spaced rows on wire trellising takes advantage of the fact that making the vines struggle generally results in better quality grapes. Okay, relate, think about your life as I'm reading this. It's a bit like people. Place someone in a near-perfect environment, giving them every comfort and all that they could ever want to satisfy their physical needs, and it could have rather disastrous consequences for their personality and physique. Right? Mm-hmm. Fat and lazy. If you take a grapevine and make its physical requirements for water and nutrients easily accessible, then somewhat counterintuitively, it will give you poor grapes. It gets lazy, and there's low-quality grapes. This is because the grapevine has a choice. Isn't this, it's just, this is not a biblical person here. This is a man who studies viticulture, whatever that is. Okay. This is because the grapevine has a choice. Given a favorable environment, it will choose to take the vegetative route. That is, it will put its energies into making leaves and shoots, like we saw, the unpruned vines. Effectively, it's saying, this is a fine spot. I'm going to make myself at home here. It won't be too bothered about making grapes, but make things difficult for the vine by restricting water supply, making nutrients scarce, pruning it hard, and crowding it with close neighbors, and it will take the hump. I guess the hard way. It will sense that this is not the ideal place to be a grapevine. Instead of devoting itself to growing big and sprawling, it will focus its efforts on reproducing itself sexually, which for a vine means making grapes. And this is just what the best vineyards do. Nutrients and water are necessary for growing vines, but they will be hard to find. Planted close to its neighbors, the vine will have to send roots deep into the subsoil in order to scavenge enough resources. Hello. We're close to our neighbors. They're not all the nicest, right? I mean, like, in the world. My neighbors are fantastic. At least on one side. But those roots have to go deep in order to scavenge enough resources. This will have the added benefit of ensuring a steady but restricted water supply, ideal for producing high-quality grapes. Another benefit of making the vine struggle a bit is that its yields will be lower. And although the reasons aren't fully understood yet, lower yields generally result in better grapes. So we think the more. And Jesus is like, no, let's scale that back a bit and do better and best. Quality over quantity. So let's talk about the fruit a little bit. We did some with the grapes, but our fruit will outlast our lives. We don't always see the effects because they are often eternal. But one day we will see all the fruit we have produced. Remember, the fruit is not for us to eat. It is for others to feast on. The fruit Jesus is looking for here, so I researched that word fruit. Because when I read this, I'm thinking, all the people I'm bringing into the kingdom with me. That's what the fruit is, right? Let's pile up the people. They're all coming to heaven. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. But this word fruit speaks of the fruit in Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's what Jesus is referencing here. When the fruit of the Spirit is alive and well and reproducing with quality in our lives, then the Great Commission just follows right along. The people come. They're drawn to our fruit. If I can take a minute, I want Hannah to just show this video John shared with us this week. I thought this is someone showing fruit. And it's amazing how it happened. It's real quick. Yes? Oh. The fruit of kindness manifesting in this man. The kindness in him made him pull over to help this man. And then he mentioned Jesus and didn't waver when he said, I'm not interested. Gave him a card and caused transformation in that man's life. Saved 5 people from being murdered because of the fruit he's bearing in his life. The fruit of kindness. We have no idea what God can do through us if we abide. So now we're going to talk about the abiding real quick because I don't have any time left. So the version that we read speaks of remaining. So this is the same as abiding, remaining and abiding. I'm going to read the Message version real quick because it just spoke to me and I didn't put it up there. Something weird's happening here, so I can't flip to the... Oh, that is the last one. Okay. So, John 15, 4 to 10, the Message version. Live in me. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way, this just describes abiding so well. In the same way that a branch can't bear grapes by itself, but only by being joined to the vine, you can't bear fruit unless you are joined with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. We don't even have to do anything. We just need to abide in him and the harvest will be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates me from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened to and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you in the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done, kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. Abiding is an active verb. It's not a feeling, it's not a belief, but something we do. We develop a relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. We are connected to the vine. We feed off of the vine. How do we do that? It's telling us right here. We spend time with God in his presence, in his word, building a relationship, checking in with him. Should I be doing this? Lord, show me where I go next. Not just jumping ahead. We're not commanded in this scripture to produce fruit. The command is to abide. And once we abide, we don't have to even think about the fruit. If we're abiding, we don't have to be concentrating on, is my fruit good? We don't have to think about it. It's coming. It's just coming. It's the overflow of our relationship with the Lord. And as long as we stay connected, the pruning, we will begin to see the pruning as a good thing, not as a bad thing, because he's pruning us with a purpose. There is a purpose at the end of that season of pruning. And I'm sure many of you, like myself, can look back on all the many years you've served the Lord and you could see where the pruning happened and the result of the pruning. I could tell you right now, I would not be standing here in front of you if it weren't for the pruning. And we don't always get to see the fruit. But sometimes we do. Yesterday, I was really super blessed. And I'm not saying this to... pat myself on the back in any way. I'm very humbled by it, but I just want to share how I was able to hear how the fruit of my life affected someone else. And it didn't even have to do with really God. But I had a young lady that I had mentored for many years at work. She started with us when she was young, probably in her late 20s. And she was with me for 12 years. And she worked alongside of me for the last 6 years and took over a position I had, and I moved into a new one, and then I mentored her into another one. And when she left, she was the director of marketing. She went for a better opportunity, a different opportunity at a bigger company. And I got to see her yesterday. We were at a baby shower, and she sat down next to me, and the first thing she said to me is, she said, "I can't thank you enough." And I'm like, "For what?" You know what I mean? And she said, "Every time I'm sitting in a meeting, this company I'm with doesn't have a you," she said to me. "They don't have a you." And I'm thinking, oh, well, that might be a good thing. And she said, "Every time I'm in a meeting..." Now, mind you, she started as their director of marketing, and now she is the VP of marketing. So she's moved way up. And she said to me, "Every time I'm in a meeting, I'm going, okay, what would Sue do? What would Sue do?" And oftentimes I'm thinking, I need to call you. How would I do this? And I said, "Well, call me anytime." But, you know, she said, "I did not appreciate..." She goes, "I appreciate it, but not to the point I appreciate it today of all that you have done, all that you do, and what you know." And she's going, "You don't know how valuable you are." And I'm like, okay. So sometimes we get to see the fruit. God gives us a glimpse of the fruit, because I don't see myself that way. And the Lord just gave me a glimpse to say, this is how, you know, this is how you're looked at in this realm. It's not the church realm, but it's my life. Like, I live my life the same way I live it here, I live it there. They all know who I am and what I believe, and that's like part of it. I've been able to help her with her marriage, help her with her child through the years, and it's an incredible opportunity. So I want to say to you today, allow the pruning. I wasn't always in the place where I would be able to do that, but God has pruned me back in work, professionally, spiritually, as a mother, as a wife. I have had a lot of pruning, and I'm still in it. Right now, I'm in the process of being pruned out of a situation. So it never ends. And God has given me the perspective of, I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I see it. As soon as I see it and realize it as a God's doing this, because we want to say, oh, that's the enemy stealing my fruit. That's natural. That's a natural thing. We want to say that. But sometimes it's the Lord saying, nope, we got to cut back. And I would say to you, the example of the tree and the rose bush is probably more of an ego kind of thing, where he cuts our fruit back because we're not ready to handle the realization of what type of fruit we're producing. Our character hasn't caught up yet to our gifting. So I know had I had that encounter with her 10 years ago, it wouldn't have resulted in the same humility it's resulted in today, right? So God knows. We say, Lord, what are you doing? And he's like, just trust me. As we feel like we're going to die, just trust me. Because we don't die, we grow in the end. It's all about growth. So if you are encouraged and want to bear great fruit, stand up with me and let's pray. Lord, I'm still vibrating from the worship this morning, so I'm a little, so amazing, God. You're so amazing. Ah, oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, we are living in a time when bearing good quality fruit is imperative, Lord. So, Lord, we come this morning and we just surrender to you today, God, and we ask you to come and show us what you're doing, Lord, as we surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Lord, we want to be not just fruit bearers, but we want to bear the best quality fruit in every area of our lives, Lord. We want people to come and feast off of the best fruit they've ever tasted in their lives, Lord. That we would just be able to, people would be so drawn to who we are, Lord, that lives would be radically changed and the kingdom would be increased. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that abiding in you isn't work. It's just feeding off of you so that we could feed others, Lord.
We just thank you, Lord, that you come and you fertilize us and you lift us up and you help us to bear fruit, God. You don't just leave us alone trying to figure it all out, Lord. And it's not about what we can do. It's about what you can do through us, Lord. So we thank you for that this morning. Lord, change our perspective and help us to see the pruning as a good, healthy thing in our lives, Lord. We just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we ask that you abide with us this week, Lord, that you keep us, that you protect us and show us, Lord, what you're doing so we could see with your eyes what's happening around us, Lord. We just thank you, Father. We give you all the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.